Good evening. Great to be here again this evening. And as usual, I have good news for you. Each and every one of us is an intentional species. The human race, what we call the human race, is intentional. What does that mean, that we are intentional? It means that we were specifically created to be here on this plane of action. That although evolution exists, you will realize that we have never been able to find the missing link that ties all prime, it'll come right, that ties the human race. And if you look at the fossil record, you will see that the Neanderthal and human are on the same level. That means that they existed at the same time. One's not in a lower level and a higher level in the geological events that are out there. So what this means, that we are an intentional species, is that we were absolutely created by this thing called God. And we were created in this form because we are able to hold spirit. We can hold spirit, which is very powerful. The other primates that came before were not capable of holding spirit. We were intentionally created to hold spirit. That means that the creator and the creation are one in the same. How many people remember when they went to churches and so forth, you heard you are made in the image and likeness of God? That means, metaphysically, that we are made inwardly in the image and likeness of God. We all realize that God is not a human being, and that God does not look like a human being. God does not have hands and eyes and all that. We have those things. That's why our hands are the hands of God. This is how God works in this world, through our hands, through our body. But more than that, it means that we are in control of our own lives, that we have the power within us to create, and we can create our own reality. We can create what we want in the world by using our thoughts, the decision, and our emotions, and not listening to what the world says, because the world will not tell you that. But the most important thing to remember is that you are an intentional species, but you didn't come up through the evolutionary chain. They will never prove that. But I am not saying there isn't such a thing as evolution, because there is such a thing as evolution, and God is also working through evolution. God is working through everything. But what I am saying is that we are very, very special, and we are very, very liked, wanted. When you make, and this is what you have to remember in your own life, that you were made and created to be here on this plane of action at this particular time, because you have something to offer that only you can give, that only you can offer to the world. And you can find that. And you find that just by sitting down quietly and asking, instead of letting the world tell you what you're here for. So that's a wonderful thing to remember, that it's not an accident that we are here. We did not come up through the primates, and it will never be proven that we did, because we were actually created from other things. How many people, decision, at church, and hearing the expression, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. We are in this world as human beings, but we are not of this world. How can we prove that? Well, one way we can prove it is this. We are made up as human beings, we are made up of hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon. That's what makes up a human being. What makes up the world? Hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, ammonia, and silica. We are not made from the things of this world. We are not made from the things of this world. So, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Remember, I told you we were going to kick this up a notch. So these are things to ponder in your own thought processes. What does this mean when you hear these things? How does this affect you? How does it shift your consciousness one way or the other? So that you can believe more, so that you can stretch your consciousness and see that we're much more. We're much more being human, being spiritual, than we have been taught we are. You see, we're not helpless victims. We are not here to be a victim. We are here on this plane of action to be victorious. And we're here on this plane of action to be victorious over everything, over every aspect of living, over everything that's out there in this environment. We can choose to be victorious, or we can choose to believe what the world says and buy into all of that and watch all those things in life. Do you remember a few months ago when everyone was irate and their emotions were going up and down and they thought they were going to go to the poorhouse because gas prices were going up? Gas prices are going down now. Is anyone jumping for joy? Few people. But you see, you can't let that happen to yourself. That's the world outside doing that. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. You can be victorious over everything when you realize that you're in this world, but you're not of this world. And that you were created intentionally created to hold spirit. Because the first go round of spirit, the species could not hold it. They couldn't hold it. But we can hold it. Without exploding or imploding, we can hold spirit inside of us. And now that we know that we can do that, and now that we know we have a spirit, we have to be able to do something with that. You see? What is the sense of having a spirit? What is the sense of having any of this power within us that we talk about, and never being allowed to use it for something good in your life, to bring good into your life, to heal yourself of anything? You have to be able to use it. Otherwise, what is the sense of the whole thing? There would be no sense. We would be living like the rest of the people out there, just going this way and that way all the time. So remember that in your daily life, that you are an intentional species, that you didn't come up through the evolutionary chain, that you are meant to be what you are, And you're meant to have these powers, and you're meant to use these powers, regardless of what the outside world tells you. Regardless. So that's the good news, personally, about each and every one of us. The other good news this week is from the world itself, and I was absolutely delighted to see this. I don't know if you people realize that I grew up in Pennsylvania. I spent 18 years of my life in a small town called Duncannon, Pennsylvania, outside of Harrisburg, in a county called Perry County. The reason why I'm telling you this is because Lancaster County is next down from us, and it's where all the Amish people are. And this week, the Amish people showed the world what Christianity and religion is all about. And they did it with dignity. And what did they show us? They showed us immediately how to forgive. That's all they said. We forgive. We forgive the man who killed these children. They not only forgave him, they went to the house and they talked to the mother, to the wife, and they were concerned what effect that would have on her children, and to tell her children that they had forgiven the father, and for them also to forgive. Wonderful sign of not only Christianity, but of religion itself. The first tenet in all religion is forgiveness. Is forgiveness. Now, I talked to somebody about this who is a self-professed Christian, goes to church regularly. She was quite impressed with that. But she said, I couldn't do it. She said, I couldn't do it. They're different. They're the Amish people. They live differently than we do. In your life, learn to forgive. And learn to forgive instantly. Learn to forgive instantly. Give up hates and resentments. Give up any grudge that you're holding against anyone. And just forgive them. Just forgive them. Things happen. Just let them happen. But forgive immediately. Why do we forgive immediately? Because this thing we call God forgives immediately. God forgives immediately. And we must learn to do that. So that was a wonderful thing to see on the news finally. Something that grand and great, and to see a religion that really put its money where its mouth is. Do you remember the Pope did that when he visited the jail of the man who shot him? Of course, it took him a while because he had to recover and all that. But we think, oh, isn't that great? Well, that's the pontiff. He can do that. He's much more spiritual. He's much more this. These Amish people are absolutely wonderful, down-to-earth human beings. And they understand the power of forgiveness. And they were able to do that instantly. There was never anything, isn't it awful, isn't it bad, isn't he awful, none of that. And I heard one commentator said, well, you know, they hold everything within, you don't get much out of them. Well, I'm not so sure they hold everything within, But they don't go around complaining and carrying on the way we do sometimes, or when something which we consider tragic like this happens, then we like to just spill our guts, don't we? We just like to rant and rave how horrible the world is and all. They never said that. They never said how horrible it was, how horrible the world is. This has always had nothing. They immediately went into forgiveness. They immediately went into forgiveness. Just something to see, and that's wonderful out there. Now, what else did I see this week? Since we're doing my race mind alerts, I turned on the television, which is always one of my mistakes, and something was on, and there were two characters, and the one character said to the other character, "It's really bad out there, isn't it? Is there any safe place left?" The other character said, "No." Flick that. Next program. Two characters. "Is there any safe place out there?" Second character. "No, there's no safe place anymore." Flick that. This is true. Two programs. Same dialogue. Run right after the other on different stations and everything. Saying the exact same thing, the exact same dialogue. And putting out there constantly that there is no safe place left in this world. And the world thinks that. The world teaches that. And the world is certainly causing that to be true. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. We are creating these things. But you cannot sit and say there is no safe place. There is no safe place. There is always a safe place. There is always safety in the consciousness of God. There is a safe place. Certainly your home is a safe place. There are all kinds of safe places. Yes, these different things happen in the world, which makes us think, oh, is there any place safe? But the world is playing on your fears constantly to keep you always on edge, always in fear, always anxious-ridden, probably put out by a pharmaceutical company, so you'll buy a pill of some sort. Don't do that to yourself. Don't allow your mind to tell you that there is no safe place in the world. And that's the latest that I discovered from those two programs. That's the latest propaganda that the world is putting out there for people. Don't allow that to happen to you. You have to maintain in your own consciousness that the world is safe. You have to maintain that. This thing that we call God would not have created a world and created intentional species and then thrown them into an unsafe place. That's an impossibility. Now, we can make things unsafe, but God did not do that. And all the things that man has done, we can undo. And we can undo by using our thinking and by knowing that there is a safe place out there and not adding to that race mind consciousness by thinking, oh, it's not safe out there. How many people, when somebody leaves your home or you leave your home, does anyone say to you, be safe? You see, that's a race mind comment. When you tell anyone to be safe, you have to realize that God is always surrounding them. that they're always safe and that you're always safe. You have to be able to do that. You know, I like the idea of saying, God be with you as somebody leaves. But be safe. Because when you say that, you are affirming that the world is not safe. That the highways are not safe. This is not safe. Everything is safe. Things happen out there. And why do most things happen out there? Because people aren't paying attention, number one. That's why most things happen. If you add intention and attention to what you're doing, you can have no fear of not being safe. Safety is there for you. You cannot say that I am one with God and think that you're not safe. You can't do that to yourself. Okay? With that said, we'll start, as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, I'm just using a word for prayer. We are taking time out to affirm or reaffirm what the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I know perfectly well that I am meant to be here. I am meant to be right here, right now, on this wonderful plane of action. And I know that I have a power within me that is connected with the power of the universe. That power and the power of the universe are one and the same thing. And with that power, I'm able to draw into my life all the abundance, prosperity, including money, that I am able to conceive. So right here and right now, I stretch my consciousness. I stretch my mind and my emotions and my feelings so that I can open myself to receive huge, huge, huge sums of money, sums of prosperity and abundance. I see abundance coming to me from every corner of the universe, washing over me right here and right now. And I am capable of accepting those gifts because I know that I am worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And I accept them with an open heart. And I let that be so, and so it is. Are people still keeping up with their affirmations? We haven't talked about affirmations for a while. Everyone? Please do affirmations. I hear people that come to visit me and they say, oh, this isn't happening, that isn't happening. And I say, oh, have you been doing your affirmations? Go, oh, I forgot to do that. You can't forget to do your affirmations. You have to have that going on inside of your mind all the time. You have to have something going on in there or your mind will run a tape for you. And it's much better for you to put your own tape in your mind than to allow your mind to put it in there for you. So do your affirmations daily. Are you still doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me? How about I love you? Good. You do the I love you. So are you familiar with that? No. Okay. 10 times in the morning you say I love you and add your name. Say, I say I love you, Dallas. I love you, Dallas. I love you, Dallas. 10 times in the morning, and I love you, Dallas, and I love you, Dallas, 10 times at night. I count on my fingers. This, I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I get going, I can't remember if I've done 10, so I just use my fingers to do it. So I do 10 in the morning and 10 at night. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. Because one day, a little voice will say, you're right. But you have to do that for yourself. No one's going to do any of that stuff for you. See? Life is a do-it-yourself project. You just have to do it yourself. All right, tonight's topic is receiving. And many people want to know about receiving. They're not getting what they want. They're not receiving the gifts. If we live in a universe that is completely abundant and prosperous, and that we know that there's tons of money out there, why aren't we all rich? Why don't we have all the things that we want? But the only answer to that is that we hold them back. We hold them back with our thinking about ourselves. And the main things that we need to know about ourselves is that we are worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. You cannot receive something if you don't know those three aspects. How many people here, somebody gives you a gift and you say, oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, you shouldn't have given me that. That does not show that you're worthy and deserving. You immediately take that gift and say, thank you more, please. Take the gift. How many people here are able to accept a compliment? You have to be able to accept a compliment. That's receiving something. If I say to you, geez, you really look good tonight, you say, oh, thank you for noticing. Don't allow your mind to say, well, I don't think so. This hair is out of place, and this isn't well, and this doesn't work. We talk ourselves out of compliments all the time. And we can't do that to ourselves. We have to hear those things, and we have to accept those things, and never discount anything, a compliment or anything that comes into your life. Don't discount it by saying, oh, that's that person, they're always that way. Or they gave me that because they want this, that, the other thing. When you get a gift, you say to yourself, ha, boy, I've been waiting for this because I know I deserve it. I know I deserve it. You have to know that you deserve it. I have a client that comes to see me because of a money situation, and they wanted more money on their job, and they wanted a raise on their job, and they wanted a 5% raise, but they only got a 2% raise, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to fill all this in for you. So finally, we got it all worked around, and a new boss and a new thing and all this, all well and good. And they get the raise. More than 5%. Now they say to me, well, I don't know if I deserve that or not. I think they gave it to me because of this, that, the other thing. I said, why can't you say to yourself, I got the raise because I deserved it. I worked hard for it. I do a good job. Instead of letting your mind immediately discount that and start telling you, oh, they did it because of this, this, and this. You got the raise because of you and because what you've done. Because you have finally reached the point where you think you're worth that. Where you deserve that, where you're worthy of that. That is why you got the raise. But the most amazing thing, and I haven't discovered this yet, I said to them, all right, I want to tell you something, and I want you to figure this out for me. It was last year that you wanted the 2% raise. You did not get the 2% raise. But this year you got more than the 5% raise that you were going for. Now, they didn't tell me what the next figure was. But I said, I want you to add all that up and see that you've lost nothing. Does that make sense to you? No. Well, if you were going for a 2% raise and you got higher than 2% raise and you worked at this 2% raise for a year and you think you've lost the 3% that's in there, But if you get a bigger raise here with more percentages, it has to fill itself in and be more than the raise that you originally asked for. That's the way the universe works, and that's the way this thing works. And that's what you have to remember. Instead of going crazy when you say, oh, I only got a 2% raise, or I only got this type of commission and so forth, and I wanted blah, 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 this out here, you have to know that you're going to get that. It just didn't come at that time. But it's going to fill itself in. And 10 to 1, when I get the figures, it's going to be much larger than the, So the next point to make there is, here was somebody that for a year was upset with the 2% raise. Hated herself, hated the company, hated everything because of the 2%. Now they get more than they want, more than they ask for. Now they can't receive it, thinking something's wrong. But they put up with that, all that. Can you see that all that nonsense for that year is mute? Why do that to yourself? You see what we put ourselves through when we don't have to put ourselves through any of that? She's going to come out much better. You wait and see. And I had to explain that to her, and she said, oh, I never thought of it that way. And I never thought to sit down and figure that out. I said, sit down, figure that all out, and see that that will all come about. But these are the things you have to know also about receiving things. But when you receive something, don't let your mind talk you out of it. And I watch people do that all the time. They talk it out. Oh, you look good. Oh, well, if I only had. I'd look better if I lost 10 pounds. That's not accepting a compliment. That's not receiving a compliment. And if you can't do that, how are you going to receive other things into your life? How are you going to receive more prosperity, more abundance? How are you going to receive more money into your life? The same way she got more money, and then she said, oh, but I don't think I earned that. I don't think I deserve that. You worked for a year for it. Now you got it. Now you think you don't deserve it. You see how the mind works? So don't let your mind do that to you. Don't let your mind do that to you. But open yourself to receiving all the time, to receive everything. And receive, know every day that you're receiving good is just going to come to you. Things are just going to keep coming to you. Things are just going to keep coming to you. And when you do that and see that and know that, things just keep coming to you. They just keep coming to you. But it's done with your attitude. It's done with your mind. It's done with your thoughts. And the thoughts that you're thinking about yourself. But we start to listen to the world out there who tells us, no, that isn't the way it works. We're not interested in the world, people. Don't get all tangled up with what the world's doing and what the world's saying. Listen to your own thinking and your own thoughts. And open yourself. I think I've said this many times. You have to keep stretching your consciousness. And you have to stretch your prosperity consciousness. You certainly have to stretch your money consciousness all the time. And that's what people fail to do. They want money, and they want money and prosperity and abundance in their life, but they are still thinking small thoughts. You have to think larger thoughts. You have to make your mind and your consciousness stretch and become bigger in order to hold what you want. And that's done because of it's the same idea of a container. You just have to get a bigger container all the time. And you do that by stretching your thinking. By stretching your thinking. By thinking, oh, I'm an intentional species. Therefore, I must be abundant. Now, where is my abundance? I'm going to start looking for my abundance. I'm going to start looking for my prosperity. And I'm going to allow money to come to me. Because I am supposed to have it. I am supposed to have it. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, man is born to be rich, or inevitably grows so by the use of his faculties. By thinking, by using your mind, by coming up with ideas that will generate money for you. And you have to realize that each and every one of us can do that. Why? Because we're using the mind of God. And the mind of God is loaded with nothing but ideas and possibilities. And if the mind of God is loaded with ideas and possibilities, so is your mind. Many people say, oh, I don't have a mind like that. I couldn't think this up. I couldn't think that up. Well, of course you can't. You sit there and say you can't. You have to know that you're connected. You have to know that you're connected with the one mind. And that that mind contains ideas for prosperity. And I'm using that mind right here and right now to come up with a wonderful idea for me. How I can make money. And then make money from that. And they're small. Look around at all the great sums of money and how people made them from small things. Gillette made a razor blade. Millions. Wrigley, chewing gum. Hershey's chocolate. Coca-Cola. But what does your mind say? Oh, it's got to be something big and elaborate. You know, I got to be a rocket scientist and I have to come up with a gigantic idea. No, you have to come up with a prosperous idea. Nothing gigantic about it. You have to come up with a prosperous idea. And each and one, every one of us is capable of doing that. Look at little businesses that start with one little idea and they grow and they just take over. It's the idea that does it. It's the prosperous idea. So tell yourself, I only have ideas that heal, bless, and prosper me. I say that to myself all day long. I only have ideas that heal, bless, and prosper me. I don't allow any other ideas into my mind. And you start doing that. And then you start, oh. And then you see money everywhere. And money comes to you. But it's opening yourself to receive. And we have not been taught to do that. We have been taught to give and give and give and give. And not to receive. You have to learn to open yourself to receive. You have a story to tell us?
Yes, I do. Today, I was messing around my apartment doing the domestic stuff, and I got a phone call from someone named Debbie. She asked me who I was. And said, do you go to Wells Fargo Bank? Yes. Did you leave your ATM card at the ATM machine yesterday? My wallet out. It's not there. I guess I did. She said, well, I have it. I said, okay. She said, and I said, and where are you? She said, well, I'm at work, and I would love to return it to you. And but first, you know, can you tell me your middle initial? Can you tell me what ATM machine it was at? Yes, yes, yes. And she lives in my area and was at work and said that she would be happy to drop it off at 4 o'clock. So she showed up at 4 o'clock with my card. I ran downstairs. I put together a little gift for her with a candle, origami, I make paper stuff, and I also do painting, so I gave her a card, and I wrote something, and she inside it, and gave it to her. She said, no, 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 no. I said, yes, 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 you have to take it. So I think I even made a comment, kind of like, oh, be a good receiver, come on, take it. So she said, okay. So she took the little goodie bag, gave me my card, held my hands and shook my hands, said thank you, and we exchanged that we had done this before, and people were nice enough to give us back our cards. And she said, you're a good person, I'm a good person, this is just nice, and so I said, yes, thank you. An hour and a half later, she called me up. I don't know how she got my number in the first place, and how she looked for it, I guess. And I appreciate the extra effort, but she called me up and said, I see you're an artist. You do beautiful work. I love these things. I want to come over and see what else you have. I want to come back in a couple of weeks. And so we ended up talking for 45 minutes, so I figure I have a new friend now, and she enjoyed chatting, and we just got to know each other, and it was just fun to have a new person.
And how about a sale?
She's coming over in a couple of weeks, and she's going to start shopping.
Yes.
So I figured she received.
And now you're going to receive.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. And thank goodness you see, you made her take the gift. When somebody wants to give you something and you do not take it, you are stopping your flow of abundance, and you not, the person that's giving it back to you is not honoring you. Is not honoring you. So the whole system stops, because it's always giving and receiving, giving and receiving, receiving and giving, receiving. It always, it's a circle. And it just keeps going, and there it worked perfectly.
Maya was also excited about receiving a new friend. You know, I talked to a couple of people today that I don't know, that have called me for one reason or another. It's like a fun day talking to strangers.
Right. Mm-hmm. And here again, I'm never downplaying the idea that you met a friend. Now, this is a class on abundance, prosperity, including money. And I want you to affirm that she's going to buy something from you.
She is.
Instead of just saying, oh, well, I'll settle for a friend. You see what the mind does? Oh, well, I did. I received a friend. I'd rather receive a couple $1,000 along with it. Thank you very much. This is, you know?
She also gave me some information. A friend of hers has an art sale every year, and she wanted me to participate in that, so... Okay.
So all of this now, you see how she took something and something that most people would think, oh, I lost my ATM card now, blah, 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 blah. She turned that into something good. You must look at everything. It was a wonderful opportunity. Now you're going to make money from that. And you handled that wonderfully well, so pat yourself on the back. That was much nicer than going, getting hysterical, my card, and, oh, she probably ran up a bill on
it. I didn't know it was gone. No, right. She said, I'll give you the admin number if you want to call and make sure I didn't charge it.
Right.
No, come on, I can wait till
forever. So, there are nice people out there, you see, and you're attracting nice people. That's what you have to know also. I'm always attracting nice people into my life. I'm always attracting like-minded people into my life. I'm attracting money, prosperity, and abundance into my life. And I'm not going to live at that other level anymore. I am moving up in consciousness. And you just keep moving up in consciousness. And you let all that other stuff just go. That's the way it's done. It's very easy. But you have to open yourself. And you open yourself by knowing that you're worthy and deserving. And that you're totally lovable. That you're totally lovable. I always throw that last one in there because in all psychological books and all self-help books, they will not throw that in. They will tell you that you're worthy and deserving. But the unspoken law in society and in the world is most people feel that they are not lovable. That goes from the top to the bottom. Most people feel that they are not lovable. Because your mind will say immediately, if they only knew, if they only knew who I really was. Do not do that to yourself. Know that you are totally lovable. And we all have something that we're not proud of. But you do not have to brag about it. You do not have to do anything about that. Because you can build on the other side. You can build on the positive side and not allow your mind to go to that other side. Say you have 10% something bad, which you think is bad, and 90% here is all good. Your mind will always point the 10% out. So don't do that to yourself. Know that you're totally lovable. Totally lovable. Just the way you are. Nothing need be added to you. Nothing need be added to you. You don't need one more class. You don't need one more of anything. Right here and right now, you're totally lovable. And the more you love yourself, the more good will come into your life. The more money and prosperity and abundance will come into your life. It just works that way. So love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. And open your mind, your heart, your whole being to receiving all these gifts. How many people remember it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom? It always gives the universe great pleasure. Why would the universe be here? Why would this thing called God be here? And all this beauty and all this abundance and so forth be around if you're not supposed to have it? Wouldn't make sense, would it? Unless you want to worship a cruel God, I don't care to do that. I don't care to do that. I want a universe and I want a God that wants me to have the kingdom.
Can you talk about struggle?
Oh, I can.
How some people seem to just struggle all the time to varying degrees. So when things are good, they struggle less, but they still struggle. And then there are others who, you know, seemingly don't. And I guess I'm talking financially.
Yes. The world teaches struggle. The world teaches failure. Struggle becomes a habit with people. Struggle, many people are taught, is a virtue. And if you want to really get someplace, you want to really earn something, you have to really struggle for it so that you can prove that you're worthy. You see, you have to realize that you never have to prove that you're worthy. You never have to prove that you're deserving, and you never have to prove that you're totally lovable. They are intrinsic qualities that you have within you and that everyone has within them. You do not have to earn them. They are your birthright. You are entitled to those items. But people think they're not, so they start to struggle. And they think through struggling that that's a virtue, because many religions teach struggle as a virtue. The more you struggle in life, then it means something. That's what life is. Life's a struggle. Life's a veil of tears. Life is this. Life is that. Blah, 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 blah. And people get into the habit of struggling. You see other people struggle for money, and you think, well, that's how you have to get money, by struggling. You don't have to struggle at all in life. Why would you think that you had to struggle if you first sit down and knew that you were an intentional species? That all you are is God, but you're not all that God is. That the Creator and the creation are one and the same. that there's abundance and prosperity everywhere. And that we are called human beings, not human doings. Get rid of the struggle in your life. Get rid of the struggle in your life. If you are struggling, ask somebody for help. How can I stop this process? How can I stop this in my life? So that it doesn't become a constant, and so that it doesn't become a habit that you keep building on till you convince yourself this is the way of life to struggle. When you give up struggling, things will come to you. I'll give you an example of that in 1 minute. But something else passed through my mind. Struggle is absolutely not necessary. When you let go and let God, things will work out for you. So here's a little example of struggling. Scuba divers, when they are under, they come into what's called kelp forests, the big long pieces of kelp in the ocean, and they get tangled up in the kelp and they start to struggle. And as they struggle, it wraps around them even more and takes them down and down and down. As soon as they stop struggling, as soon as they relax, the in and out flow of the wave releases them, releases the kelp from them. The kelp goes straight up, and so do they. Don't struggle. You understand that? The wave going in and out is God. I'll give you clues and hints. But when you're struggling, you're not letting go. And the more you struggle, the worse things get. Don't struggle. Just release it. Let it go. See what happens to your life.
What if you release it and nothing happens, and then you find you have all these bills?
If you release it, you're not going to have all these bills. But do you see right away the premise that you're starting with? You're acting from fear?
I'm acting from experience.
Which is fear. Most experience comes from fear. Do it a little at a time. All these things that I talk about absolutely work. But you have to build your own faith. You have to take that leap. You have to start something. Well, I think I'll try that. You have to be your own scientist in life. Oh, I think I'll try this. I think I'll let a little go here, a little go there. If you can't do it all at once, fine. But learn to give it up little by little by little till you no longer have that struggle. And till you no longer have that thought in the back of your mind, well, what happens if I give up and the bills aren't paid? You see. Do you have an affirmation for that? You should. Remember my affirmation for bills? All my bills are paid on every four time. As soon as a bill comes in, I sit down and pay and take it right out and kiss it and put it in the mailbox. There's no bills on my desk. My bills are all paid on every four time. Was I able to do that 20-some years ago when I started? Absolutely not. But I never gave up. I kept doing it till I made it so. I kept doing it till I made it so. All affirmations you do you make them so? That's what affirmations are about. Affirmations are like training wheels on a bike. You have to use them until you learn how to ride. Once you learn how to ride, you can get rid of the training wheels. Once you learn all this stuff, you don't have to do the affirmation. But now they're so set in my mind throws them up to me. My mind reminds me of them all the time. And now they work. That's why I know that affirmations work. Because they work. And if they work for me, they have to work for you. You see, I cannot do anything that you cannot do. God does not show favorites. And I would not tell you something if I couldn't do it. I check all this stuff out before I open my mouth. I make sure that it's going to work. So in order to receive, you have to open yourself. Have I helped you at all? Keep doing it. Keep seeing yourself doing that. And then don't go out and keep running up bills. Listen, that's the next thing you learn. And then you learn, geez, I can have a great life spending very little, but I don't need all these things that are out there in the world in order to be peaceful, in order to be happy. Because I'm running my life, I'm not allowing the world to tell me, oh, you'll feel better if you have the Mercedes, or you'll feel better if you have this, that, or the other thing. I feel quite well right now. And that's what I'm after in this world. I want to go through this world with peace of mind, happiness, joy, and bliss. And of course, no struggle. That's what I think life should be. Not all this other stuff, what I call the nits and fleas of life. You don't need the nits and fleas of life. That's not life. What kind of a life is that? So make up your mind not to have that and do these different things. Okay? I have some cards, as usual. Today, I consciously choose my thoughts. With God, I create a life of wonder and awe. I celebrate my wholeness, prosperity. I am open to a rich flow of divine ideas that prosper my life. A rich flow of divine ideas that prosper my life. Ask constantly for ideas. If you want money, ask for ideas to make money. And they will come to you. They will come to you. This I've had for years. Don't ask me where I get this stuff. But I find it. Decide to stop living the life that does not reflect your power and strength. That's what this whole teaching is about. To learn to live this teaching. And to stop living that life that does not. That life out there in the world that we run into. Do you want to live that life anymore? You see, you can't. You can't have a foot in both camps. You either have to be there or here. You can't be in both places. So you have to decide to stop living the life that does not reflect your power and strength. Choose to stop living the life that does not express your truth. What is your truth? What is all our truth? What? What is your truth? Yes, you're worthy, deserving, and completely lovable, that you are one with this thing called God, that you have a creative spirit within you, and that you can create your own reality. Live that truth of your being. Instead of hoping that that's true, instead of maybe that's true, know that that's true, and start living that truth. This is the core of courage. It is the gateway to empowerment. The gateway to empowerment. To say, I'm going to start living my truth. That's what I absolutely love. God is doing a great work in and through me now. God is doing a great work in and through me now. A God-given opportunity to reinvent yourself according to God's mind's perfect idea of you. You get to choose. I've changed my presence of mind. You get to choose that. All you have to do is change your mind. Change your mind about yourself. Change your mind about what you think you truly are. Start seeing yourself as a powerful human being, as a prosperous human being, as a successful human being. See yourself as those things. See yourself as a God-centered, individualized expression. You see, that's changing your mind about who you are. And only you can do that. And your mind will eventually do that. If you come here long enough, your mind will get tired of me saying this and finally say, oh, hell, let's go ahead and accept it. Easier to accept it. But do that for yourself. Accept those things about yourself. I am a child of God. Divine light illuminates my path, and I proceed by divine direction. Know that you're always divinely guided. Remember the three things that I live by? I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. I use that in my life. Three easy things to remember. You're always divinely guided. I am grateful for the knowledge of truth that liberates me from guilt and allows my desires to manifest. Liberate yourself from guilt. It does not serve you. It is not an intrinsic quality. It is man-made. It's a man-made quality. Guilt, and it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Guilt is used to control, and that is all that guilt is used for. It will do nothing but control you. If you allow people to put guilt on you, they are controlling you. If you allow your own mind to put guilt on you, your mind is controlling you. Guilt only controls. It's all it does. It does not make you a better person. It does nothing for you whatsoever. There's no need for it. Get rid of it. This came from a book I read, and I can't remember the book. The moment you closed your mind from embarrassment, you close it to knowledge. I'll read that again. The moment you close your mind from embarrassment, you close it to knowledge. How many people have been embarrassed to ask a question? Have been embarrassed to do something? As soon as you do that, you close yourself from knowledge. Never be embarrassed about anything that you do, anything that you say. Do not be embarrassed. You cannot be embarrassed because you are a child of the universe. There is nothing to be embarrassed about. Don't like that one. In any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing. After all, if we do the wrong thing, at least we can learn. Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt. Do not be afraid to make a decision. All power is in the decision. The reason why I think it's up in the 90s. The reason why 90% of the people do not achieve what they want in life is because they will not make a decision. You have to make a decision. Making a decision is the easiest thing in the world you can do. You're either going to be right or you're going to be wrong, and you'll find it out. And as soon as you find it out, you can change your mind and make another decision. But you must make the decision, because all power is in the decision. Once you make the decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. But it will do nothing. It will stand in the wings till you make the decision. When you make the decision, it'll come right in. Do not be afraid. Do not be timid. Be bold. Always be bold. And mighty forces will come to your aid. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
You're supposed to shut this off immediately or something? Or 3 more minutes?